यत्र यत्र हरे राक्षा सदेशाश्रय संपदं यत्र गंगतयो नद्या पुराणेषु च विशुधा। Auspicious indeed are those places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, these supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are many atheists who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple. In this verse, however, it is authoritatively stated that any place where the deity is worshipped is transcendental. It does not belong to the material world. It is also said that the forest is the mode of goodness, and therefore those who want to cultivate spiritual life are advised to go to the forest. Vanam gato ya dharimashayita. But one should not go to the forest simply to live like a monkey. Monkeys and other ferocious animals also live in the forest. But a person who goes to the forest for spiritual culture must accept the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for shelter. Vanam gato ya dharim ashayeta. One should not be satisfied simply to go to the forest. One must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, therefore, since it is impossible to go to the forest for spiritual culture, one is recommended to live in the temple community as a devotee, regularly worship the deity, follow the regulative principles, and thus make the place like Vaikuntha. The forest may be in goodness, cities and villages in passion, and brothels, hotels, and restaurants in ignorance. But when one lives in the temple community, he lives in Vaikuntha. Therefore, it is said here, Shreyasam Pudam, it is the best, most auspicious place. In many places throughout the world, we are constructing communities to give shelter to devotees and worship the deity in the temple. The deity cannot be worshipped except by devotees. Temple worshippers who fail to give importance to the devotees are third class. They are Kanishta Adhikaris, the lower stage of spiritual life. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Acharyam Evaharaye Pujam Yashadayahate Natad Bhakteshu Chanyeshu Sabhakta Prakrita Smritaha. A person who is very faithful, engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not know how to behave toward the devotees or people in general, is called a Prakrita Bhakta or a Kanishta Adhikari. Therefore, in the temple there must be the deity of the Lord, and the Lord should be worshipped by the devotees. This combination of the devotees and the deity creates a first-class transcendental place. Aside from this, if the Grihastha devotee worships the Shalagram Shila, or the form of the deity at home, his home also becomes a very great place. It was therefore customary for members of the three higher classes, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, to worship the Shalagram Shila, or a small Radha Krishna or Sitaram deity, in each and every home. This made everything auspicious. But now they have given up the deity worship. Men have become modernized, and they are consequently indulging in all sorts of sinful activities, and therefore they are extremely unhappy. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred, and still there are hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rameshwara, Prayag, and Mathura. India is the place for worshipping or cultivating spiritual life. The Krishna Consciousness Movement invites everyone from all over the world, without discrimination as to caste or creed, to come to its centers and cultivate spiritual life. perfectly. Translation. Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. Asked by some of his Grihastha followers how one in household life can properly advance in devotional service. He replied, Asat Sangatyaga Vaishnava Achar, that one must avoid the association of people who are too much materialistic minded, who are non-devotees of the Lord. And one must keep the association of saintly persons. In fact, Lord Kapila Dev explained to his mother Devahuti that we are now attached to so many of the objects of the senses in this world. If we want to make spiritual advancement, we must transfer our attachment to saintly persons. Unless we become attached to saintly persons, it is most impossible to give up the attachments we have to the sinful materialistic ways of this world. So here Narada Muni is explaining that the most auspicious place to cultivate our spiritual life is that place where there is a temple of the Supreme Lord who is duly worshipped. In other words, duly worship means to be in the association of devotees. When we become materially inclined, our heart is filled with so many attractions and attachments. And the bondage of these attachments is impossible to break. It is only by the mercy of the Lord and His servants that these attachments can be replaced with spiritual attachments. To try to simply give up our attachments to this world is the process that many of the impersonalistic philosophers recommend. But the path of bhakti is very simple, and therefore it is most recommended in this age of Kali Yuga, because by param drisva nivartate, experiencing a higher taste, we can easily liberate ourselves from the things that are keeping us in bondage in this world. We are attached to looking at beautiful things. When we learn to find pleasure in looking at Krishna, we never want to look at the things of this world again. Rupa Goswami has warned us that if you are attached to your mother, your father, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, your society, do not go and look at Krishna. Because once you see the beautiful threefold bending form of Krishna with his beautiful lotus eyes playing his flute on the banks of the Jamuna, then how will you ever be able to look back at the things of this world? Similarly, the gopis, they had so many relationships which are so near and dear to a young woman. But when they heard the sweet flute of Sri Krishna playing from the Vrindavan forest, The sound of his flute maddened their minds and attracted them to such an extent that they could not even think or consider the things of this world. They gave them all up as if they had no value whatsoever. The four Kumaras, they had attained the liberation of Brahman, which is millions of times more satisfying than any of the pleasures of this world. They had achieved mukti in the highest state. But when they simply smelled with their nose the sweetness of the tulsi leaves mixed with saffron and sandalwood that was decorating the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, they became so maddened with love and affection for this fragrance that they utterly forgot all the pleasure of Brahman or mukti. Krishna means the all-attractive one. So when we dovetail our sensual propensities in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, then our mind and our senses naturally become attracted to him. Otherwise, to divert our mind and attention away from the things of this world is very, very difficult. The mind is most powerful and difficult to control. Therefore, the process is to always keep one's mind and senses engaged or in association with Krishna. So when we come to the temple and see the beautiful form of the Lord, our mind and our senses are naturally engaged in the beauty of experiencing Krishna. But without the association of saintly persons whose words fill our hearts with transcendental knowledge and whose example in life is showing us the process of how to keep the mind and senses fixed on the deity of the Lord, it is very difficult. Therefore, here it is explained that one should go to those holy places where there are temples worshipped by great sadhus. And also one should go to holy places. Why? Because a holy place is a place not only transcendentalized by the divine presence of the Lord, but also it is a place where we can meet so many saintly persons whose minds and senses are engrossed in the divine lila of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who will inspire us and encourage us to become perfect by chanting his holy names. Through this process, all of our material entanglements and all of the shackles that keep us engrossed in the miserable conditions of this world and enslave us, we are free from all of them. And there is a beautiful story of such a person who, by tasting the sweetness of the mercy of the pure Vaishnavas, lost all his attraction for the things of this world. Yesterday we were celebrating the appearance day of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath was most exceptional in that he was the son of a very, very wealthy mercantile man in the Kayasta community. His father and uncle, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, were worth what is today equivalent to billions and billions of rupees. There is practically no one alive today that had the riches of them. And they were very charitable, and they were also very sincere devotees of the Lord. In fact, they sponsored most all of these religious activities conducted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, of course, although they were most religiously inclined, they still, due to the association with such material opulence, they were very attached, especially to their family condition of life. And they had one son. His name was Raghunath. And their greatest attachment in life was to him. They were thinking that he will, everything we are working for, everything we are developing, all of our success in life, we will turn it all over to him. It will be in good hands, and everything, the continuation of our family wealth will go on generation after generation after generation. The good name and fame of our family will be carried on by Raghunath. When Raghunath was a small child, he was fortunate enough to have the association of that great devotee, Srila Haridas Thakur. And while in that association, the natural propensity to surrender his life to the service of Lord Sri Hari awakened. It is said, sadhu sanga sadhu sanga sarva sastra koi labamatra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. That there is no opulence in this material existence so precious as the opportunity to associate with a sadhu. Because even one moment's association with the sadhu can provide one the opportunity to attain the perfection of life. So Raghunath Das, because of his brief association with Srila Haridas Thakur, hearing the transcendental words vibrating from his mouth and seeing the quality of his pure devotion to the chanting of the holy name, Raghunath was thinking, I want what this man has. I do not want what my father and uncle have. I want what this man has. Haridas Thakur was living in a cave. Try to understand. He was living in a cave, and in that cave there was a serpent. It is described a huge poison snake. People used to come to Haridas Thakur for darshan, but this snake would very much frighten them, because every day they would see the snake just come slithering by Haridas, coming in and out. They would be struck with fear. But Haridas, he did not care. He was not at all fearful. Bhajahu re mana sri nanda nandana abhaya charana ravindare. When your mind is fixed in Krishna, there's no fear. Haridas Thakur could see Ishwara sarva bhutanam hridayeshir junatishtati, that the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, his divine protector, friend, and master, was within the heart of every living being, so therefore he must also be within the heart of the snake. And if Krishna, he is directing the wanderings of every living being, if Krishna wants this serpent to bite me and kill me, yare Krishna mare Krishna yare ke, then very good, I will die. It is Krishna's will. If I am thinking of him, I will go back to Godhead. Let him take me. Let him put me wherever he wants me. And if Krishna wants me to remain here preaching, he was thinking and chanting his holy name, then this serpent, what power does he have to harm me? So because of his implicit and pure faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was fearless. It is only due to ignorance and forgetful of Krishna that we can be fearful of anything. As soon as we remember Krishna, it is said in the third canto of Bhagavat that fear personified is afraid of Krishna. So Haridas Thakur was fearless. He was living in a cave with serpents. He did not know where his next meal would come. Actually, it is explained in regard to this serpent that at one time so many people were thinking that maybe Haridas Thakur, he is so great, he can live with this serpent, but for us to come and visit, we are too much afraid. So Haridas Thakur could see that his visitors were very much fearful. So he said, all right, then I will leave this cave. I will go to another place. At that time, the snake left and never came back. Because even the serpent was the servant of Haridas Thakur. This was the glory of his devotion. That Krishna arranged that even the lower species were purified by the association of the chanting of the holy names. It is said that the two most envious and unmanageable of all species of life are a serpent and an envious human being. Because you see, it is said that these are the only two species who will harm another out of envy. The dangerous animals in the forest, they are not envious. Out of fear or out of the pursuit of survival to find something to eat, they may kill to protect themselves or to nourish themselves. But they will not unnecessarily harm anyone. But a serpent, simply because they are envious, they will strike you. And similarly, a human being that is envious, for no reason, not for survival, not for defense, but simply out of sheer hate and envy, they will cause violence and even kill. It is said that a serpent can be trained through mantras, but an envious human being is very difficult to train. Therefore, there is no more dangerous creature on earth than the envious humans, two-legged animals. And we see it as a fact. Although the jungles are full of wild animals, although the fields are full of scorpions and serpents, is that really what is causing the problems of the world today? The violence of the world today, the jeopardy of human civilization is being caused by envious human beings. Because no matter what you do to try to satisfy them, they are unsatiated with their greed. But Haridas Thakur, by his purity, he could even change the hearts and enlighten the most envious human beings. We see the example of the prostitute that came to convert him to sinful activity. In the end, although she was so envious, she wanted to make this great saint fall down to sinful activities. In the end, he converted her into being a great sadhu. She took to the chanting of the holy name and gave up all sinful activities, gave up all her wealth, gave up everything in the service of Lord Hari. Similarly, the smart Brahmins and the Muslim priests, as well as the government magistrates, who sentenced him to death out of envy, by his association, by hearing his chanting and seeing the quality of his fearless devotion to Sri Krishna, and seeing his love even for them who wanted to kill them, they were ultimately also converted to be his followers and became pure saintly persons. So this is the glory of a saintly person, and this is the power of their association. So Raghunath Das, who was living in the most opulent and prosperous condition that our minds can imagine, when he went to visit Srila Haridas Thakur, who was living by all material standards in utter poverty, as I was saying, as far as food, he had no arrangements for his food. Whatever Krishna sent, he would eat. He would beg in the most humble position. What is the condition of a beggar? To be a beggar when you do not need to be a beggar is a very, very crushing blow to the ego, because when you become a beggar, you have to accept so much abuse. Apparently needless abuse. There is a story in the life of Ramanujacharya that he had one disciple of the name Dasarathi. And this Dasarathi, he was very much learned in the scriptures. He was a very famous pandit. He would recite the shastras and explain the philosophical conclusions of the Shastras in such a way that anyone who would hear him would be struck with wonder. So one day he approached Srila Ramanujacharya, who was his guru, and he said, "Can you please explain to me the real essential meaning of the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Sucha." Ramanuja saw that this man, although he was quite sincere, because he was such a great orator, a great speaker, and a great learned scholar, there was pride within his heart. And as long as there's pride, there's no question of understanding what it means to surrender. So he said, what you should do is you should go to this sadhu who is living in another village, and you should learn from him, because after all, you're such a great scholar, I am not qualified to teach you. So he went to this other great scholar, and this great scholar that he approached, every time, his name was Gosti Purna. Every time he would ask him to instruct him in this verse, he would say, "You come back at another time and I will instruct you." For 6 months, he remained in that village as the servant of Gosti Purna. And every time he would come back, he would tell him that, "I am not ready to instruct you yet." And then finally, when Dasarathi was very much humble and saying, "Please instruct me, please instruct me," he says, "If you want to understand this verse, you have to become the humble servant of Srila Ramanujacharya and go back to him." So he went back to Ramanujacharya. Just when he appeared, he explained to Ramanujacharya that, "I'm willing to be your humble servant. Please instruct me. What is the meaning of this verse of Bhagavad Gita? What does it really mean to surrender to Krishna?" Just at that time, one of Ramanuja's relatives, the wife of one of Ramanuja's relatives came to Ramanuja's house. And she began, with tears in her eyes, to reveal her mind. She said, "You know, every day my mother-in-law, she is a very, very strict mother-in-law. She forces me to go a long distance to carry water. And when I go, sometimes it is dark, and it is very fearful going through the forest in the darkness. And I'm all alone, and then I have to cook, and I have to do so much housework, and she's always dissatisfied with me. She's always chastising me. I'm in so much anxiety. What should I do?" See, people come to sadhus with all kinds of complaints. He said, "Oh, what you need is a Brahmin cook at your house." And he said, "I have one right here." He said, "Dasarathi, you go to that house in that village and you carry the water for them and you cook for them." Here he is, the biggest, most learned scholar in all of the lands. He said, "All right, I will go." And then he began to carry the water and just cook for the family. And this went on for months and months and months. He was just a humble cook. He wasn't allowed to say anything. He would just carry the water and do the most menial service. At that time, once there was a parent devotee who came to recite the glories of Lord Narayan. And many people from that village attended his lecture, as did Dasarathi. And while the lecture was going on, Dasarathi heard that this pundit began to mix devotion to Krishna with impersonal philosophy. He could not tolerate it. Although he was just a humble cook, he stood up and he began to explain that this is not correct. The Lord is not impersonal. The Lord ultimately has form and personality. And this pundit became very angry. He became so angry, outraged. He says, "Who are you to question me? I am a great pundit. I am a lecturer. I am a guru. And you are simply the cook, the servant, the sudra. What right do you have to challenge my interpretation of the Vedas? If you have a better interpretation, you explain." And then he explained and he quoted Shastra in so many references to prove that Krishna is ultimately a person and only through devotion you can approach him. That the pundit himself fell at Dasarathi's feet and surrendered to him. And the whole town began to think, my God, who is this cook? And then they found out who he really was. He was the great Dasarathi. Everyone had heard of him. They said, what are you doing as the cook carrying the water for this family? You are famous throughout the lands for your great lectures and your knowledge of the scripture. He said, because I'm proud, I'm puffed up. My Guru Maharaj, he has sent me like this to do like this. So then the whole village practically, they all came together and went to Kanchipuram and approached Ramanuja and said, please, this man, he's such a great devotee. Why you have him in this position? Let him come back. So Ramanuja, when he heard how humble and devoted he had become, how prideless, he was willing to accept the most menial service. And Ramanuja himself went to that village and they began to embrace. And then Ramanuja explained to him the essence of that verse, Sarva Dharman Purityaja. He said, now you can understand. And there was another devotee of the name Kuresh. And he also asked Ramanuja, please explain to me the essence of the verse of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Purityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Ishyami Masucha. I want to know what it really means to surrender to Krishna. Ramanujacharya said, you should give up all prestige and you should make the order of your guru your life and soul and humbly serve him without any other ambition and never say no to anything he says for 1 year and then I'll be able to explain it for you. He said, but 1 year is a long time. I may die in 1 year. Please tell me now. He said, all right. He said, for the next month, you should not know where your next meal is coming from. You should go door to door and beg and completely depend on Krishna and accept all abuses and accept yourself as nothing but the beggar coming to the common man's house, lower than the low. That will take care of destroying all your pride. And after 1 month of doing that, then he instructed him and enlightened him. So you see, Haridas Thakur, he was a very humble soul. He was like this. He had no arrangements for his bodily maintenance. He wore simply the simple tattered cloths that he would find on the roadside. He would beg for his food. He would live not in any palatial buildings or rooms, but he would live in caves and thatched huts in the forest. And Raghunath Das was living in the most pompous, luxurious circumstances. But when he saw the life of Haridas Thakur and heard the pure words that were emanating from his lotus mouth, he was explaining the principles of tapasya, real renunciation, to give up everything for the pleasure of Krishna, to find no other opulence and no other valuable jewel in life except the holy name. When Raghunath heard these words from Haridas, they penetrated his heart and he was very, very much anxious. I want what this sadhu has. I do not want what my father, what my uncle, or what all my rich community has. I want what Haridas Thakur has. I want the wealth of the holy name. I want devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, from those very early ages of his childhood, he had absolutely no attachment for any of his surroundings. He was simply dreaming of the day he could escape and become a sadhu. Just like children, you know how they dream, when I grow up, I want to be like this. He was always dreaming of getting away from everything. Of course, his parents saw that he was a little disinterested, so they married him to the most beautiful and faithful and lovely woman. Young and most exceptional in all of her virtuous qualities. And they gave him the highest positions in the business, positions of control, positions of great power and comfort. And somehow or other he tolerated these things, but his mind was always running to the forest to meet with the sadhus. So when he got old enough, he made so many arrangements to run away from home. And his family, his parents, were very much afraid. With all their wealth, they began to protect him from this craziness. They hired many guards and protectors to make sure he was always doing his duty and he could not run away. And every time he would run into the forest to meet with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to go to Jagannath Puri to surrender to him, to live with him, to become a sadhu. They would forcibly capture him and drag him back home. So at one time he approached Lord Chaitanya with his parents' permission when Lord Chaitanya was visiting Santipur. And he told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I want to become free from the shackles of material bondage. I only want to become your eternal servant. I want to live with you and be your devotee in the renounced order of life." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that at this time you should pretend to be very, very attached to all of the activities that you are given as your responsibilities in life. But in your heart, you should always be thinking of Krishna. Just like a prostitute when she is in love with another man, she is more, not a prostitute, I'm sorry, a wife who has a paramour. Prostitute is not the correct word. A wife that has a paramour other than her husband, she will serve her husband and please her husband with more care than she ever did before, because she does not want him to suspect that she's thinking of another man, because that will cause great chaos in her life. But while she's serving her husband with such care and devotion, her mind is always thinking of the person she really loves. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should become like that woman. You serve your husband with great care and devotion. And especially you have to be careful to serve him so nicely that he never suspects that you're constantly thinking of Krishna. You must do your job so well that none of your family members, none of your workers, nobody could even suspect that your mind is constantly engrossed in the thought of Lord Sri Krishna. But keep your mind always on Krishna. Never deviate. And he said, if you do like this, Krishna's mercy will soon deliver you from this condition of life. So Raghunath continued, and he continued to do his duty so nicely that everyone was thinking, he has got over this crazy madness of becoming a sadhu. Now he is very nicely captured by our worldly life. They were very happy like this. At one time when Raghunath kept running away, the wife said, "My dear husband, let's take with chains and ropes and keep him home by binding him." And the husband said, "What can ropes and chains do? He has a wife more beautiful than a goddess of fortune. She's like an apsara. He has the wealth of Indra, the king of heaven. If these things, beautiful wife, wealth, fame, power, if these things do not bind him to this world, what do you think ropes and chains are going to do?" He said, "The fact is he has become a devotee of Lord Gaurachandra, and therefore he has become mad for Krishna. And one who has become maddened by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is nothing in this world that can keep him here. But still they tried. But upon the instruction of Lord Gaurasundar, he satisfied them by pretending to be very much attached to worldly affairs. And he was so expert at worldly affairs, it is described that his father and uncle, like every businessman, they do some cheating every now and then. They were tax collectors, and they were supposed to be giving a certain amount, 1,500,000, to the government, but they were giving only 1,200,000, or 1.2 lakhs. So in this way, one Muslim employee of theirs told the superior that they were cheating. And in this way, they were to be arrested. Raghunath was the only one home. Father and uncle were out of town. So they arrested Raghunath. And Raghunath Das was very expert, very clever. He told this Muslim who arrested them, he said, actually, in our community, you are on equal level with my father and uncle. Therefore, you are my uncle. I am actually like your son. Amongst brothers, there's always disagreements and fightings, but very soon it is forgotten. But I am like your son, and I am completely helpless under your care. And when this man heard this, the affectionate words of Raghunath melted his heart. And he said, yes, yes, you are just like my son. I love you like my son. Therefore, you can go out of jail, you can take all the money, and just tell your father and uncle that they should be more fair next time. In this way, Raghunath Das very, very expertly executed all his worldly activities. And then the guards, they thought there is no need for such high security to protect our child. Attached to the world, very nice. It is explained that one evening, the priest, Yadunandan Acharya, who was one of the great disciples of Sri Advaita Acharya, he came to Raghunath's house and said, Raghunath Das, very late at night, he said, the pujari for the temple has left and you are very expert at convincing anyone of anything. Please come and convince him to resume his worship of the deity. Otherwise it will cause great disturbance to our temple affairs. So Raghunath said, all right, I will come just now. So in the middle of the night, Yadunandan Acharya and Raghunath Das started going toward the temple to find the priest. Guruji, you go home, you take nice rest. I will take care of convincing this pujari to do his duties. So Yadunandan Acharya said, all right, and he went home. And after he was out of sight, Raghunath, instead of going to the temple, he ran into the forest in the direction, not directly of Jagannath Puri, because he understood that they knew he was always anxious to go to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he took a very indirect route, which would take a long time, through the jungles, very dangerous, very lonely route. And the next morning, when all the family members woke up, where is Raghunath? Where is Raghunath? They were looking everywhere. Yadunandan Acharya said, oh, I told him to go preach to this pujari. And they said, oh no, he has gone. And they started searching the forest. They sent messengers, guards, policemen along the main road. In fact, at that time, the residents of Navadvip, headed by Shivananda Sen, they were en route to Jagannath Puri for the Chaturmasya, They would go there every year to observe the Rath Yatra with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they sent messengers to Sivananda Sen and his party of Vaishnavas. They were thinking Raghunath must be with them. And Sivananda Sen told the messengers that we have not seen him. He is not here. Raghunath, as he was traveling through the forest, he hardly slept, he hardly ate. Of the 12 days he wandered by in his bare feet through the forest, it is described, for 3 or 4 days he had little something to nourish his body. Sometimes he would go to the house of a milkman and have little milk or get some fried grains from begging. And alas, he reached Jagannath Puri, the holy dham of Purushottam Kshetra. And there he fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he was very much enlightened with great joy. He saw that Raghunath, his clothes were torn, he was very dirty, he was very lean and thin from fasting. It was a very treacherous and long journey for him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after lifting Raghunath to his feet and embracing him with tears in his eyes, he heard from Raghunath of what he had done and how he had attained his ultimate goal in life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that it is very difficult. In fact, it is impossible to give up the shackles and the entanglements of family life. It is only by the special causeless mercy of Krishna that it can be done. And Raghunath Das has attained the causeless mercy of Krishna. He said, family life is like a pit that people go to pass stool. And to get free from that pit can only be possible by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And please excuse me for joking in this way, but your father and uncle are very dear to me. They were friends of my grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur. Therefore, we have an affectionate relationship, so I can speak my heart in a joking way. He said, your father and your uncle are like worms in stool. Because the affairs of family life are like stool. And anyone who is attached to that stool is like a worm. Even if you try to liberate such a worm from the stool, he will go right back into his stool. But Raghunath Das, by Krishna's infinite kindness, he has delivered you from that abominable condition of life and has brought you to his lotus feet. And of course, Raghunath Das, with great humility, he said, my dear Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I do not know who is Krishna. I do not know what is Krishna's mercy. I only know it is by your kindness and your mercy that I have been saved from this abominable condition of life. Of course, the story goes on. It's a beautiful story. Narration by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami of how Raghunath Das Goswami became the very crest jewel of all renunciates, of all sannyasis in the renounced order of life. It is described that he would live in such a simple and such a austere condition of life that anyone who would see him, tears would come to their eyes. Tears of love. At one time, when all the devotees returned from Jagannath Puri, Raghunath Das's mother and father, and uncle, they sent messenger to Sivananda saying, when you were in Puri, did you see our son Raghunath? Sivananda Sen told the messenger, yes, of course I saw him.
What is his condition? What is he eating? How is he living? He said, ah, Raghunath Das, he is the very embodiment of the highest principles of Vairagya. He is so dear to all the devotees. Everyone loves him with such affection because he is so devoted to the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They said that as far as eating, his body is very lean and thin because he hardly eats anything. He will simply eat the refuse that nobody else wants. Even that he does by begging. And he only wears the torn clothes that nobody else would want to wear. He wears one cloth around his waist and a thatched torn quilt when it is cold. He sleeps on the hard ground. He has no fixed place of residence. In this way, his eyes are always filled with tears of love, and he is constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna and constantly absorbed in serving the devotees. Now, when the devotees hear such a story of such a great person, their hearts are elated with joy. But when Raghunath's parents heard this news, they began to cry, thinking, oh my God, what is this? So this is the power of association with great souls. And as Narada Muni is explaining here, there is nothing more auspicious for our spiritual advancement than going to those holy places where the beautiful form of the Lord in the temple is being worshipped by such great devotees of the Lord. Of course, no one can imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. That is not possible. But we can follow in his footsteps. We can accept the principles that directed his life. And by such transcendental association with great souls, we can very effectively be blessed with the supreme opulence of life, which is to be attracted to Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has also prayed that, Guru Maharaj, you have Krishna. Please teach me how I can also be attracted to Krishna. So by gaining the blessings of the great souls, we should not ask sadhus, give me good wife, give me good husband, give me son, give me daughter, give me money, give me health. We should ask the great souls, give me attraction to Krishna. Relieve me from the burning affliction of attraction to the things of this world, and allow me, help me with your blessings, with your grace, with your good instructions. Teach me how I can transfer all my attractions to the lotus feet of Lord Hari. That is the real gift that the sadhus are empowered by God to give another, attraction to Krishna. And when we learn how to taste the sweetness of attachment to the lotus feet of the service of Krishna and his devotees, then, and then only, will we be truly satisfied. Because it is the soul's great longing for this loving devotion to the service of the Lord. So in the association of great souls, when we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we should understand that that is the most auspicious place and that is the most auspicious opportunity in our life to become Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.